Hi, this is Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire, here with today's edition of Soundbite, our daily interview series featuring researchers, thought leaders, and newsmakers in the world of high-performance computing. Today we'll be talking with Eric Schneider from the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics about Kimura, which is a scalable partial differential equation-solving framework to fit modern HPC architectures. This framework is based on CACTUS, which has wide use in the general relativistic astrophysics community and serves as a springboard for advanced studies of black holes, neutron stars, and more. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Nicole.
So, Eric, if you could, just for those who aren't familiar with this sort of application framework, can you describe what some of the end goals of this solver are in your field of study?
So my background is in relativistics. We are studying black holes, neutron stars, and certain kinds of supernova explosions that happen in the universe. And we need to make the respective ab initio calculations for that, simulating these events, and then we can compare them to observations. And these are generally time-dependent, three-dimensional simulations that soak up a lot of computing time. And then it's important to have the respective computational infrastructure in place to make this efficient. Otherwise, these calculations could take months or years. And since these equations are so complicated, these are all multi-institution efforts with collaborators from all over the planet. So you need some kind of software infrastructure that allows these people to collaborate. Some people give physics input, others the computational science input to make the calculations run efficiently.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe what type of computational requirements there are? Can you put this in more perspective? Do you need just high core count machines? Are you often running this on, say, GPU accelerated machines? What does the ideal compute environment look like?
So the calculations that we're currently running run on thousands of cores, and individual calculations run for weeks at a time or months at a time. And we want to model more realistic physics. That means we want to use more complicated equations that in the end means you would need to use more cores or run even longer. We would like to use GPUs, but since the equations are so complex and every time you want to model a new physics system, you need to modify the equations, it's not really feasible to program them in CUDA directly. And then even if you did use CUDA, then there's the BlueJean Q or the Intel mics, and you have to reprogram everything, and that's not feasible. So from a physicist's point of view, you want to have a highly portable system that runs everywhere and gives you just reasonable performance. And these days, that includes GPUs.
So when you say that this is a PDE-solving framework for modern HPC architectures, you're mostly talking about a standard, maybe, say, Xeon-based multi-core chips. Is that correct?
Well, I mean that includes GPUs these days. So we have a framework in place, CACTUS, that runs rather efficiently on CPUs. And now we want to extend that to run the accelerator-type architectures as well. And that is what the Kimura project gives us. And most people know how to program something that runs reasonably efficiently on a CPU. But if you want to make the same code perform well on a GPU, you need to transform the code. You need to change the computational kernel, split them, combine them differently, think much more deeply about the memory accesses. And this is a complex task, and many people are not familiar with how to do that. And even if we did that for one particular kind of GPU, we may have to redo that if a new architecture comes out that has a larger cache size. That's not feasible if you want to play with different equations.
Right. Can you talk about that process, how it's been for you? How much time are we talking about that you've invested in changing this code to meet the new architectural demands?
So we tried initially when GPUs become more widespread to port our code there, and it was clear from the beginning that our equations are too complex, it wouldn't work. For example, we have, say, 30 evolved variables. Each kernel requires several thousand floating point instructions, and that may not even fit into the instruction cache of a CPU or a GPU. So you need to do some major surgery to even begin to get reasonable performance. And then we did not try to program this directly. Rather, we started developing a framework for automated code generation. And this forms the heart of Kimura, where you have an input where you describe your equations and how you want to discretize them. And then there's an intermediate representation of the kernel, where we call that a calculation. And you can split kernels, combine them, modify the stencils. And in the end, that is mapped onto templates that can execute efficiently on a CPU or a GPU. And one can update and modify the templates for new architectures.
I see. And how commonly used is the Kimura framework or even the Cactus framework? I know it's popular, as you said, in the astrophysics community, but can you give us a sense of perspective on how many users and for what purposes?
So the relativistic astrophysics or computational relativistic astrophysics community, we have, I don't know how many users, probably users from 10 or 20 research groups all over the world. So it's really a multinational effort. And if you go to the respective conferences, then many people will have heard of Cactus or are familiar with it. But this is the gas of physics. There are many other fields of science where Cactus is not widely used. And Kimura is a fairly new project, and I think it's currently our best bet to continue, for Cactus to continue to run on the modern architectures. For 10, 20 years, it was basically MPI programming that people needed to do. And right now, the next step, you need to do something much more high level to your equations.
Right. So as you look at some of the hardware innovations that are on the horizon, so you mentioned the MIC architecture, you know, we have ARM cores coming out, we have a lot of options available and some unique movements also in terms of memory and access patterns. What are you keeping an eye on in terms of your own application area?
I'm very interested in the forefront of what HPC technology affords, but I try to keep my feet grounded in the actual application science. So basically look at the large HPC centers, what they are buying, what they are considering. These are the architectures that I would target. And at the moment, this would be, as mentioned before, NVIDIA GPUs, Intel MIG, BlueJeanQ, and maybe ARM cores.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about some of the advantages or disadvantages of each of those architectures, just generally speaking, from your perspective?
From my perspective, they all have disadvantages. Intel Xeon cores are currently most widely used and the easiest to use from an application point of view. And whether the cores use more power or less power, for me as an end user, that is not really that relevant. As a scientist, I mean, I have access to high HPC cycles, and whether it is expensive to cool them or not is a technical detail that many scientists do not want to worry about. Now, of course, we all know that if there's a particular system with GPUs, then if you use the GPUs in addition to the CPUs, you improve your performance by a factor of 3 or 5. And that is something that one would not want to neglect. Whether a simulation runs for 3 months, only 1 month, then of course you want to go for the 1 month. So you want to stretch a bit and make it possible to use the GPUs. But completely rewriting a code base that may be 10 years old and contains hundreds of person years of experience is unfeasible. So you need to have some intermediate step that helps you make the transition.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big selling point that Intel's promoting with their Xeon Phi, where you've got a familiar framework to program from. Of course, there's the optimization process. So what about that as an alternative?
So we ran on the Xeon Phis, and the code basically ran right away, and that was very beautiful that you didn't need to spend much effort actually porting it. But the performance, I mean, not the absolute performance, but in terms of fraction of the theoretical peak performance that we're getting, is rather low. And it's kind of difficult to investigate why this is the case. You have to dig down deeply into hardware performance counters and so on to find out what is actually going wrong there, whether it's instruction cache or data cache size, or whether something with the multi-threading is going wrong. There may be threads that wait for each other that should be running concurrently. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, requires much more knowledge in computing architecture than, say, a normal physicist would have, who's mostly mm-hmm. interested in understanding how a supernova works than in making the code go faster.
And so give us some background, by the way. I should have started off with some understanding of what you do, but you're a computer scientist and a physicist, or where's your expertise and what have you had to dig into as a non-specialist to be able to do what you need?
So I started out as a physicist, an astrophysicist. I took some computer science lectures while in undergrad, but I was a physicist, and then I moved more and more into computational science. So at the moment, I would call myself a computational scientist, not truly a computer scientist, because my main emphasis is still on getting the science done. But I'm very interested in the necessary tools to perform the actual science. And at the mm-hmm. Perimeter Institute, I collaborate with many theoretical physicists and many fields of physics on the particular algorithms and methods that they may be using in their respective mm-hmm. subfields.
And so what are some of the computer environments that you're running in at the Perimeter Institute or elsewhere? What supercomputers have you benchmarked code on or run code on? And can you describe some of those experiences?
So at Perimeter, we have a small cluster mostly for in-house development and also for training students and postdocs. There's about 500 cores. Shouldn't call it small, that will probably offend some people there. Apologies, but in terms of HPC, 500 is probably a small number. And otherwise, I've used HPC systems across US and in Europe. The NSF facilities, Exceed, and some of the DOE facilities. And Cactus runs rather efficiently on most of these, on all the architectures that exist there, except the new ones such as BlueChinQ or Intel Mike.
Okay. And so as you look to future developments in supercomputing, and I know that you keep a really close eye on what's happening on the hardware and software fronts, what seems most interesting, 5 years out? What are you really watching and waiting for development on?
So what mostly interests me is how this translates into actual software, that because that is closer to what an actual scientist sees. It's not the hardware, but the software that makes the hardware usable. And what is interesting there is what will come after MPI. MPI is very difficult to use. Writing an MPI program makes the program twice, so five times as large, and requires very much time. So if there was anything that made it easier to write parallel programs and to improve scalability from, say, 100 MPI processes that you could reach, that an individual developer could reach, to 10,000 MPI processes, if that was simpler, that is really something I'm looking for. I'm waiting for. I know there are several systems out there that are proposed. One that I find particularly interesting myself is HPX, High Performance Parallax.
Yes, and can you describe that a little bit? We've been hoping to have someone on to talk about that. It's truly interesting. Give us your take from your domain expertise on what that promises.
So HPX is developed mainly at Louisiana State University. I used to work here for 5 years. And the main programming model that people use with MPI is that each process executes the same code, performs the same operations at the same time, and it's difficult to make things asynchronous because both the sender and the receiver need to agree on what data should be exchanged. And HPX essentially takes the C++11 threading model, the multi-threading model, and extends that onto a distributed computing system. So write your code with multi-threading, with futures for synchronization. It is almost a functional programming language that you have there. Functional in the sense of that there are individual functions that are pure, that do not have side effects, which makes it much easier to compose them or to reason about correctness. And then you execute them on a distributed environment. That is, instead of having 10 threads running concurrently, you can have 10,000 threads running concurrently. And HPX does not try to hide the fact that there are different processes or localities, as they call it. There's still a difference between threads that run on the local system and that run remotely. But you don't have to go out of your way to launch a thread on a remote system. I think that shows a lot of promise. And I've begun to collaborate with the HPX developers to see how we can use more of HPX in the Cactus framework that is currently based on MPI.
Right. It's easy to see how that would be a really good fit. Well, thank you so much for giving us some perspective. If readers and listeners want to find out more about Kimura, where can they go? I know that you're giving some talks coming up soon.
Yeah, I'll be presenting on the Kimura project at the APS meeting, physics meeting, not a computer science meeting, at the April meeting. And apart from that, I recommend the KimuraCode.org website where we describe the code. We are actually just this week having a workshop on Kimura at Louisiana State University where we want to take it to the next level. And a product that we hope to get from this workshop is an easy to follow tutorial where people can just download Cactus, Kimura, all the necessary tools, and then run a simple example. You can type in a simple equation, for example, describing sound waves in a box, and then run it on a CPU or on a GPU, on a laptop or on a workstation.
Oh, interesting. So you can benchmark it across different architectures then?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Okay. Well, once again, Eric, thank you very much for sharing. And again, I think we'll also follow up very soon on the HPX story. That's been of huge interest to a lot of our readers. And we'll check back in with you once Kimura develops. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.